supporting. Well, let me say this. I want to your listeners to know that when allegations of this sort are made against anyone, and you guys as attorneys and your listeners will also know that a restraining order is a real big deal, right? To restrain someone's movement, someone's liberties, is what we call a drastic measure. So when the allegation came to me, because you know I respect due process of for everyone, and I understand that to restrain someone is a big deal. We had this child interviewed by the Louisiana School of Health Sciences, particularly their forensic interview department. That child went through two forensic interviews, and both the psychiatrist and the psychologist found him to be credible. Again, I want to repeat that. We had a forensic interview done of this 11-year-old child, and the Louisiana School of Health Sciences, the forensic department, found him to be credible. In fact, what one of the psychologists said is that he's the most credible 11-year-old they've ever interviewed. So we then filed for the restraining order, and the judge granted it. At the same time, we filed for a viewing of the crime scene. This is what we're calling it, the crime scene.
Yeah.
And the federal judge granted that. So we were able to take our clients into what we know as the Brave Cave to do a visual inspection and for them to walk us through exactly to relive what they had, what was done to them. So what became readily apparent to us is when we entered into this black site, this Brave Cave, that the crime scene had been disturbed. It was gutted out. The only thing that remained in there was the wires and the mount on the wall for the television screen that was there. Everything else was gone. So we're going to be doing some follow-up with the court about that. But, yes, this still was a big day for us on Friday. Also, we did a press conference afterwards. And your listeners should know, if they don't know this person's name, I'm going to tell them, Professor Angela Allen Bell, who is a professor, an esteemed professor, a scholar, that is world-renowned. She's done work on the Black Panther Party and other liberation movements, as well as Fourth Amendment Search and Seizure publications. She spoke at that press conference. I would invite you and all your listeners to go listen to her analysis that was so profound. But that's essentially catching you up on what's going on. We also have a hearing that we're waiting on, right now, before the court, where we're looking to enjoin or have that court deem the current strip search policy as unconstitutional. So we're waiting to hear back on that right now.
Wow, that's a lot. Daryl, while you continue, I'm going to bring a surprise guest onto the show. So I'm going to let you continue. And when I come back, we will have our surprise guest to speak to the nation. So I'll be right back.
Okay. And, you know, Attorney Thompson, you know, the 17 and the 15 and the 11-year-old, now, have you found that to be common there, that common act that's going against, you know, those underage people by the Baton Rouge Police Department?
That's a great question. So, one, I haven't found one white victim who has been taken to the Brave Cave. The other thing is that based on all the interviews we've conducted and the phone calls we've received, it appears as if there was no limit in terms of demographics, meaning male, female, or age, on who could be taken to the Brave Cave. What your listeners should know is that in inspecting the scene, inside of one of the cells, one of these concrete cells that had metal bars, metal rings infused into the concrete, there was evidence of a young child being in one of those cells. What was the evidence?
Wow.
There were pictures that were scribbled with crayon and kids' stickers that was on the floor. So for us, that was evidence that a young child had been inside one of those cells. Now, as a person of African extraction, who was a descendant of enslaved Africans, that was profound to me. It was so shaky because, as you know, in the Middle Passage, when we were captured and taken, brought here to the Americas, we were shackled underneath those ships. And in some of those ships, there were children. And so it gave you this eerie feeling that we were in some type of slave dungeon, right? And something tragic had happened, which we know did. So, yes, children have been there, and it doesn't seem to be a limit on the age that can be took. They could have been taken to the Brave Gate.
Wow.
And you were indicating, and just so that I'm clear on this, did you say that the mother was taken there along with the three children?
The entire family was taken, sir.
Wow.
And so the mother was there to see what they were doing to her kids.
So the mother did not visually see her child being rendered unconscious, but she did hear it because the child was asking for his mom.
Oh, my God.
And the 11-year-old was separated from the mother. So what happened is the 11-year-old asked to use the restroom. And when he actually used the restroom, that's when the officer decided to do what it is he did inside of the restroom.
So that was a cavity search of the 11-year-old?
It was a visual body cavity search and a strip search with a visual body cavity search. And the reason we filed for the injunction is that the 11-year-old makes the allegation that he held in or touched his penis.
And, you know, that element, Daryl, of sexual assault also comes up with the Goon Squad case in Mississippi. But before we go farther, Attorney Ryan Thompson, Adarian Frambro, and Destiny Jackson, and to our national audience, I am happy to bring on the show one of our heroes. He's been fighting for justice for these last 4 years for his son, Ahmaud Arbery. I want to welcome to our show for a brief moment the father of Ahmaud Arbery, Mr. Marcus Arbery. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Ms. Barbara. How y'all good people doing?
Oh, we are talking about you and pouring out our hearts and love to you and the family. You're on the road. You're heading to Atlanta.
Yes, ma'am.
For this hearing tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And what do you want to say to everybody? Because people are out there going, oh, my goodness, there's another hearing? We thought these guys were convicted. What does it mean that you're having to go and to fight again to make sure that justice is upheld in this instance and continued? What do you want to say to the nation right at this moment?
I want to tell the nation, don't never stop fighting. No matter what, let these people know that when they do something to your loved one, let them be accountable for it. And stand up, always show up and show out. Don't never give up.
And Marcus, you're surrounded by your brothers and sisters. And it's amazing that, you know, that the whole family is on your way to Atlanta. What has it meant to you that not only has the community been standing up, not only have people all over the country shown love to the family, but what does it mean just to have your brothers and sisters there with you in this horrible moment?
Oh, that's just mean a lot. Because, you know, when you've been, it all starts from home. Whatever your parents store in you, that's what you're going to take out to the world. Our family stories, how they stick together in hard times or good times. You still love on each other, respect each other. And so that's how we were raised. That means a lot to me to look up and see my brothers and sisters. Our parents gone, but guess what? They're still living on because we're doing what they store in us.
Amen. And Adarian, before we let Marcus go, because they're stopped on the side of the road and they're going to keep moving after we finish, because they're on their way to Atlanta. The The oral argument in this appeal of the hate crimes conviction is tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And so they're trying to get there, you know, so that they can be in line, you know, real early in the morning to, you know, go into the courthouse and hear this. But Darian, what do you want to say to Marcus Arbery? Because you'll be there tomorrow as part of the people who will be attending that 10 o'clock rally. What do you want to say to him?
I'm going to say to you, as he's taking me in as a member of their family, and I've taken them in as members of my family. We're standing with you, and I want you to know we thank God that you have your family there from Brunswick that's coming with you. But you've got a family right here in Atlanta. You've got people coming from all areas of Georgia to stand with you. And we're not just standing with you for the sake of an appearance, but we're coming to actually show that we're putting in the work and that we're doing everything we can to make sure that something like this never happens again. And this will be a testament of we're not to be messed with anymore. We won't stand for it. We won't stand for it. So, Brother Marcus, we're standing with you in prayer, and we're standing with you physically as well.
My. And Destiny, what do you have to say to Marcus Arbery and the family?
Just like Adarian said, you know, you definitely have a family down here in Atlanta, and there are going to be many people who show up and pop out to make sure that, you know, justice is served. I know things may get emotional, especially during this time where there may be 50, you know, the devil is working overtime, okay? The devil is working overtime. But I want to know, you know, you are in God's hands, you're God's child, so, you know, you're going to get exactly what you deserve, you and your family. We're going to be right there behind you to support you.
My goodness. And you should know, Marcus, that we have on the phone one of our nation's hero attorneys who's been really just digging up the dirt and fighting to get some justice for the people in Baton Rouge who have been victimized by a hateful police department, you know, part of it that, you know, operated a vicious torture chamber of black folks. Attorney Ryan, what did you want to say to Marcus Arbery before we let him go?
Sir, it is an honor and pleasure to informally meet you. Hopefully one day I get to formally meet you. But all I have to say this is that we love you. You have all our support, and may justice be swift.
Thank you.
Amen. And Daryl, you know, Attorney Daryl has to say, you know, his word, and we will all be seeing you this evening. Daryl, what is your word as we let them head back down the road?
And, you know, Marcus, be safe on that way down the road. You know that Barbara and I will be there this evening. We'll be there. We told you we'd be with you side by side, step by step, back to back, wherever you need us. We'll be there every turn of every hearing. And we're going to continue our commitment to that promise. We look forward to being there with you. And again, always remember, this whole nation is praying for you, Marcus, you and the family. All of the members of the family, they're just, you know, really bowed heads, and certainly you're in their thoughts and in their prayers, and look forward to seeing you this evening.
Thank you.
And much love, Marcus, and much
love. Thank y'all very much. Much love to y'all. Thank y'all for
you.
Everything.
All right, sir. Take care now.
All right, y'all too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And so, you know, Attorney Thompson, you know, we sit there and we go through this conversation with Marcus Arbery, who, you know, really is going through just one of the most, you know, they say that there's nothing that compares to the loss of a child. There's no emotional feeling that compares to the loss of a child. You were just laying out for us, not the loss of the child, but being in the same room when your child is being tortured. And there's nothing that you can do. I cannot imagine, Attorney Thompson, how that mother felt being in the Brave Cave with her three children, hearing them cry out and understanding what was happening to her, what was happening to them, and not being able to do something. And then adding insult to injury, and I wanted you to speak on this if you may, the school resource officer knowing the 11-year-old. I mean, it just befuddles me, Attorney. It befuddles me.
Let me tell you, sir, you know, as an attorney, when you consult with a client and someone tells you something like this, you pause and you pause and you say, what did you say? I had to take a walk when I heard this. And in full disclosure to you and your client, I mean, in your audience, I went there before an allegation of use of force against the 17 and 15-year-old. And the 11-year-old says to me, well, what about me?